Gwynn Opening Day, as it's unofficially referred to around San Diego, will be Nick Martinez, Kyle Freeland, Kevin Kugler joined us back hour number one. If you missed anything on the NCAA tournament, we still have a surprise guest we're thinking might show up hour number three, but we don't want to jinx ourselves. So we appreciate Dennis Lynn's time. He's busy, and he's joining us on San Diego Sports 760. Good afternoon, Dennis Lynn.
Good afternoon, Darren. I'm actually not that busy. I am running late today, so that's why I guess I'm calling in. Also, I don't know if you remember, a year ago, I very clumsily shattered a glass pitcher of water trying to tiptoe my way onto your set at the Blind Burrow next to Marnie's, so I figured I would spare them the damage this time.
Okay, so you've been banned from the facility. Is that what you're saying? You're not allowed to come to the Blind Burrow anymore because you broke a glass carafe last year?
That's correct. I can't come within 100 yards of the establishment, which is a very fine place, by the way. So I think they're all happy about that.
Okay, well, that's disappointing for us, given that we're 100 yards away from Petco Park. Dennis, how did opening day go for you yesterday? We know what the score was. We know what the storylines were. What was different yesterday's opening day, if anything, compared to other opening days that you've covered?
Well, number one, the amount of media in the clubhouse. I think it's going to be interesting today. I know, you know, everyone always calls it Tony Gwynn opening day, game number two, to see how many of those media members show up again in the clubhouse. So there's a lot of tension, understandably, on this team. But I think it's also important to remember that the Padres might have, in a sense, a couple opening days this month, because you got Yu Darvish lined up to start the final game of the homestand. His schedule's obviously pushed back by the WBC and just, you know, getting into spring training late. And then April 20th, everyone knows, is when Fernando Tatis Jr. comes back. And then he's also got to, you know, play those games on the road, you know, that weekend. And I think, and then, you know, a week after that or so, he'll be making his home debut at Petco Park. So even though the result was pretty ugly for the Padres last night, it's I think it's important to remember they're not at full strength. So should be an exciting month overall, not just an exciting opening, you know, weekend or so.
You know what, Dennis, it's interesting you bring up yesterday, because I'm guessing, you know, 30 teams in Major League Baseball, 15 managers lose on opening day. And for the most part, I'm guessing in these post-game press conferences, most of these managers are saying, we got 161 left to go. Let's, you know, we know we're a good team, even if they don't think they're a good team. But I said this to Marty. She was in the room and you were in the room. Like the disappointment from Bob Melvin about that being the first game of the 2023 season, I thought was very sincere. Like, he was genuinely disappointed to lose the game and to put out what they put out yesterday afternoon.
It was genuine, and I think that's something, you know, a lot of people appreciate about Bob Melvin, is that he doesn't underplay these moments, right? Like, he always kind of understands the importance of, you know, putting on a good show. And I think even it dates back to, I'm sure, well before this, but, you know, I've talked to people, you know, when he was managing in Oakland, every time they played the Giants across the Bay, he'd always make it a point in pregame meetings to kind of drive home the point very subtly in a very Bob Melvin way that, you know, this is a really important series. This might be, you know, the rare time during the season that, you know, a lot of the country is watching the Oakland A's. So we need to put a heightened focus on details in our preparation. And I think he really made sure that his players and his staff felt that. So I think there's a nice way he has about him of kind of, you know, kind of communicating his inner angst. I think he's a guy who, you know, is very introspective, but, you know, he has a nice way of kind of, you know, turning that outward and, you know, trying to get other people around him to try their best as well.
Dennis Lynn of The Athletic is joining us. It is San Diego Sports 760. We are broadcasting live from the Blind Burrow till 3 o'clock. John and Jim coming up here a little later on today. Well, just Jim, not John. John's on his way to Houston. You know, he is in his second season as the Padres manager. Yet, Dennis, it feels like there's been a couple of stories, a couple of mentions of his future. What's going on with Bob Melvin, just in terms of him and, you know, his time? He even brought it up a little bit yesterday, you know, about where he is in his career and how much longer he thinks he's going to keep going.
Yeah, I think there are, obviously remains to be seen. I mean, there's definitely, you know, when he first got here, just even like a sense that, you know, he knows, like, or he knew at the time that maybe this will be it for him after his three-year contract is up after next season, 2024, and that'd be by his own choice, because if he were to move on after 2024, there'd be no shortage of teams calling for his services. But he's a guy who's been in baseball for decades and decades, and he's accomplished far more than most of his peers. But I think at the same time, the one thing he obviously hasn't done in his career is win a World Series as a manager. He did that as a bench coach in Arizona way back in 2001, so that's something that's still missing from his resume, something that clearly he wants to accomplish, and obviously he's never had more talent on his team or on a team that he's managing, or more payroll by like exponential amounts than he has now. So I think he really views this as probably his best chance right now. If he doesn't get it done, or the Padres don't get it done in the next 2 years, I could see him continuing. But yeah, I think it's also very possible, on the other hand, that after 2024, he's had a really, really good career, and maybe wants to enjoy his family or enjoy some personal time, and maybe he'll take a break and come back. I don't know, maybe pull Bruce Bochy, but I don't get the sense that he's a guy who just wants to do this until 85 years old, having to get dragged out of the dugout, a la Tony La Russa or something like that.
Dennis, and apologies to Marty. I did not watch Marty's video of A.J. Preller's press conference before the game yesterday. I've missed whatever it was that A.J. Preller had to say. Dennis, was there anything interesting from A.J. Preller's time with the media before game number one yesterday afternoon?
I didn't think there was anything super striking. I did ask him about Juan Soto and whether they've had any kind of serious talks whatsoever on the contract situation, and he basically indicated no, and that's kind of already been known that there's nothing serious going on this offseason. And AJ pointed to the fact that Juan was in and out for the WBC, and after everything he went through last season in DC, getting all the attention after the news leaked that he had turned down 15 years and $440 million from the Nationals, that was possibly quite a distraction for a guy who not only had to deal with that at the All-Star game and right before the home run derby that he actually won, but also after he got traded, and then having to answer questions in San Diego as well. So that doesn't seem like something he wants to deal with personally very much right now. Obviously, he has an agent for this. They can deal with that kind of stuff, but right now he's two seasons away from free agency, and it doesn't sound like either side is super inclined to make the first kind of bold move. But I think he's definitely open to hearing what the Padres have to say if they have something to bring to the table. I just don't think the Padres are quite ready to throw, say, $550 million at him right now.
Because they're just not ready financially, because they want to see something else, or just the timing doesn't make a ton of sense on their side?
I think you could probably chalk it up to a combination of all those factors. I mean, for all we know right now, Peter Seidler could be talking to Scott Boras right now, and they could be wrapping something up as we speak. I think that's highly unlikely, but as you and I and many other people have said over the past year, never be surprised with Peter Seidler, right? So there's always that factor, but he's coming off, obviously, his worst season, which still was a very good season by the average major leaguer standards. He's had couple small injuries here recently, and he has to kind of get to know the organization. They got to kind of get to know him and get a sense for who he is. And obviously, they wouldn't have done the trade if they didn't have a pretty good sense already. And they were one of the teams who were really on him when he was 16 and trying to sign him. But guys change over time, and he's only been in one organization until last summer. So I think both sides have to get to know each other a little bit more before they can maybe seriously consider something.
Thoughts on Nick Martinez getting the ball tonight?
I think it's going to be an interesting test of where Nick is and his progression after he also played in WBC. Obviously, he didn't have quite the experience personally that he wanted there, only getting to pitch once, and obviously getting thrown back into the Cactus League and much lower pressure environments. That's always an adjustment for guys, especially guys that get jacked up like Nick does. So I think he's really looking forward to tonight, Friday night at Petco. He actually even said this after his last Cactus League start, it was kind of tough to go back from pitching at Chase Field in front of 40,000 fans to pitching in Cactus League games in front of 8,000 fans. So I think how he regulates his emotions and how he pitches with the pitch clock tonight, that's going to be something to watch, because as you all know, he's a very emotional guy, and he likes to feed off the energy of the crowd. So I think it could go really well for him tonight if he really channels that correctly and kind of gets the fan support that he's been looking forward to.
When do you think we'll see Camposano behind the plate?
Yesterday kind of sounded like, third game of the season, so tomorrow. I believe that's, if I'm not mistaken, off the top of my head, Michael Wacha's turn to start. So you might see him there. And then we'll see how the timeshare works out. But as of right now, Austin Ola's back with a broken nose and all. Kind of made this miraculous recovery. Not 100% yet, but, he's still the guy that they trust the most. So Luis Camposano's going to have to kind of earn his way in there, especially with a manager like Bob Melvin, who was a former catcher himself. So, but I think there's a lot of people in the organization who are eager to see him get more of the timeshare this year because it's probably not ideal for Austin Ola to be catching 120 games.
And we're still on track. We think Darvish is going to go Tuesday against Arizona.
That's correct. Yeah, he threw five innings, about 80 pitches yesterday in Arizona. They had his little own opening day experience with basically no one around. So I'm sure, like Nick Martinez, he's looking forward to getting back to Petco and, trying to close out this this homestand that they just started on a good note for the Padres.
All right. Well, I skipped opening day, Dennis, but I'll see you a little later on. I'll see you inside of Petco Park. You know me, I don't go when it's just everybody else is going. I'm there to fill in the void of the local media that won't be in attendance today. So I'll be there and probably getting in everybody's way a little later on. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Darren. Looking forward to it.
All right. There you go. Dennis Lynn, everybody from The Athletic. I do love that, too. That's a little bit of what goes on behind the scenes when people who are there every day, people like Marty and Dennis and Kevin and AJ, they're there every day. Who are all these people? Who are all these people with all these cameras? We never see these people. And, here they are now. They're not going to be here tomorrow. They're not going to be here over the next couple of days.
I don't know. It's not even really it's about more the local media that's there because, you're going to have TV. You're going to have more TV showing up, especially for the, opening day. But I think, a lot more international. A lot of more international media will be there for Deportes, for when Ha-Sung Kim is performing. I do actually think that more of the media attendance is going to be from outside this market.
What else did we miss yesterday for those of us that didn't make our way into Petco Park?
What did we
not see? And apologies for not watching your AJ Preller video.
I think you should watch it.
I will watch it.
Okay, you should.
Maybe learn?
Time. I don't even know if we're going to have time for it. I mean, he spoke more. He was asked about, of course, the Juan Soto thing about, do you expect to engage him? He made it seem as though, listen, Soto wants to go ahead and concentrate on baseball. The same thing that he mentioned with the Nationals. This is not the time to talk extension. My impression from that was it's not even a conversation right now. You can, there is no rush. There is no reason to rush for that. I'm asking him about WBC, about you, Darvish. Did he and Bob Melvin expect that, when he went, there was a chance he was not going to be built up for opening day? And they didn't really think so, but just the way that Darvish prepares and the way, his own program, the way that he started throwing early, the way he amped up, they thought he would be ready, but he's going to miss one turn. He's going to miss one turn in the rotation, so... you can find all of that at sportssd.com as well as Blake Snell and Bo Mel.
Yeah, I mean, it's a weird thing to focus on, the commitment and the time spent with the WBC when we're, talking about, a guy who could have done more, or that you would think you'd like to see do more than 4 1/3. But, y'all get sick of hearing this. It is early. Any bad Padre takes out there? 70470, first word of the take team.
Are you kidding me?
I thought for sure we would have a little over-the-top reaction, overreaction from people following the first game.
Oh, yeah.
I haven't seen it on the text line. 70470, first word of the text team. Send us your worst possible take and we'll read them.
I've seen it on the, last night on the Twitter. Was, listen, trade Juan Soto right now. He's overrated. And save your money for Otani. There was a bit of that going around last night.
You want to trade Soto now, huh?
Dude.
I don't believe that's a real person that said that.
I think it's going to be okay. It's one game. It's going to be just fine.
I don't know that's a real person that would say that after one game. I will say, it didn't look good. It didn't look good. And Bob sort of said afterwards, he was asked about it. He was asked by Dennis. And he's like, he's got two options there. He could die for it or he lets it fall in front of him. And he let it fall in front of him. Should you have Juan Soto out there diving for that?
No.
With two outs? in that game? Should you? If you're Nabil Crismat, would you like to see that?
Playoff game? Yes. Game one on a soggy,
on a wet field?
Absolutely not. When you've been dealing with obliques and quad? No. No.
Plus, respectfully towards his finalist status as a Gold Glove nominee last year.
I know.
He's not really there for that.
No.
Okay? Like, just so we're clear, like, he's not really there for that. He's there to do it in the batter's box, which, you know, not last night, but I would think we're going to see a much better version of Juan Soto. Mm-hmm. I would hope we're going to see a much better version of Juan Soto. Coming up, we're going to hear what Brian Dutcher had to say from NRG Stadium in Houston.
Oh, good.
He spoke with Jim Nance during the open practice session today at NRG Stadium, plus the Riff Report, the J-Riff Report.
Here we go.
What is San Diego State getting itself into with Florida Atlantic University? We are live from the Blind Burrow. We are downtown. We're on the corner of 7th and J. I would tell you the sun was out, not so much now. So Marty's put a coat on. She no longer is just rocking her Sweet 16 San Diego State t-shirt.
And I have a backup Blind Burrow hoodie.
We've ordered some carnitas bowls.
Delicious.
And some steak bowls.
No, mine's gone. I demolished that. It was so good. The food here, by the way, the food here is phenomenal, top notch.
Jake Peavy stopped by in person, which was great. I'm of the opinion another on-site guest will be here at 2:00. Somebody I think people will definitely want to see. We'll see. We're not confirmed there, but it's in the works.
Please don't jinx me.
We're not jinxing anything. But the J-Riff Report plus your text message is coming up. Wash it before you wear it,
yes.
Which is weird. I've never heard that before. Here's Jim to defend himself because he didn't wash the brand new shirt from Alpine Beer Company.
You wash it immediately. You want to get the, you have to get like the factory, the box smell out of the shirt. Freshly,
it's never going to smell better than it is right now.
People also try on clothing and then put it back up on the shelf or on the hanger.
But that's not what Jim did here. He didn't go to the Target and buy a shirt. Andy the beer man brought him an Alpine Beer Company shirt yesterday here to the Blind Burrow.
It's a brand new shirt. Why would I wash a brand new shirt?
Because it's going to have a different smell to it.
That's like the best smell,
smell. That's not a good smell.
I love that smell.
What's wrong with you people?
Marty's right.
You guys don't... So let me ask you a question.
I've never even heard of this.
All right, so when you buy... I hate to ask this. This is too personal. So
underpants?
Do you wash it or do you wear it? What?
I've never in my life washed brand new underwear.
What's wrong with you people? Straight out of the plastic? You wear it like that?
What? When you buy a shirt, right?
And you wash it.
No.
With soap.
Well, first off, if you wash it shrinks.
You don't know who touched that last.
Andy the Beer Man did.
I'm okay with Andy the Beer Man touching
my shirt too.
I'm fine with it. Not going to bother me.
So Schaefer brought you this Sweet 16 shirt.
I washed it.
You washed this before. Now,
do you think I trust John Schaefer? Absolutely
I will say, like, out
not.
In the public, yeah, it was probably on some table someplace.
Yeah.
A lot of people probably fondled that
shirt. Yeah, someone, like, listen, he was on an airplane. Maybe he kicked it to the bottom of the, maybe it fell down on the floor. Maybe he took it to the lavatory with him and he just used it as a towel. I'm washing that shirt, man. You wash it. You don't just wear it. Come on.
I don't know either.
I don't know.
You guys don't wash your underwear?
No. I don't. I
you do?
No. What? Oh, my gosh.
You will wash your underwear before you wear it?
Underwear talk. Perfect.
I've never in my life. I sometimes you go to the store just to put something new on.
Yeah, you try on stuff at the store, right?
This isn't like a new car smell. These are clothes that you're wearing right on your body. You wash it.
I don't wash it.
I'm with you. I am with Jim Russell.
Okay.
And Jim is outstanding at laundry, so I feel like...
I take my shirts cleaning very seriously, okay?
All right. Now, will you wash that separately?
I will wash
this. That is a new shirt.
I will wash this regularly. It's pretty big, so it's going to shrink a little bit, which will be perfect. But if it was, like, a perfect fit, I would hang dry it. Because if I put it in the dryer, then it would definitely shrink.
You know what? I was going to wear I got a shirt. He gave me a small shirt. And you know why I didn't wear it today?
Because you didn't wash it?
I didn't have time to wash it.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well... We've learned something.
Wash it on cold water. You're welcome.
I must say, I've never really heard of that. I've never heard of that.
You buy new clothes
and you have to wash them before you wear them.
I have never heard of wearing clothes out of a... Wow.
70470. First word of the text.
Stunned.
971 number chiming in right out of the gate. Uh-huh. You always wash first, all caps.
Okay, how about this? So you buy some glass. Will you buy some glassware from Target or wherever you buy it from? Crate and Barrel.
It's totally different.
No. Do you wash the glass, dear? Why?
People have been breathing on that.
Yeah,
people touch that stuff.
People have been touching. You don't.
But I'm ingesting it.
People have been touching your underwear.
Putting my lips to that.
You don't know how many people touched your underwear, Darren, and you're going to wear it unwashed. I am just horrified now.
I don't know what to tell you. I'm sorry to disappoint you. Time for the Jay Riff Report. What do you need to know about Florida Atlantic University? Probably a lot. Thankfully, we have Jonathan Rifkin.
Not sure who the Aztecs are playing in the Final Four?
You know your name?
It's a trip to the Lone Star State to face number 9 Florida Atlantic. And we all know what this animal is.
One, two, three.
Still not sure? How about this? San Diego State?
Don't talk to me like I'm an idiot, okay?
To solve the mystery that is FAU, it's the JRIF Report.
I guarantee you that the FAU students wash their clothes as soon as they buy them. All right. Did you know that it's illegal to imitate animals in Boca Raton, Florida?
Illegal to imitate animals.
So, like, that bit that we just did in the open where that guy was making the hooing sounds?
Mm-hmm.
That would be illegal.
Okay. Don't understand the statute, but if you say it, we're going
to
go with it.
Did you know it's illegal to have sexual relations with a porcupine?
With a what now?
With a porcupine.
Yes.
Okay.
I think that's rather obvious. Should be obvious. I don't know why anybody would even
animals?
Think that they had to look into that.
Or for all
it's
animals?
Called bestiality. You shouldn't. Yeah.
The
you
porcupine shouldn't one was very specific in the statute. It's illegal to sing in public while wearing a bathing suit.
I can't hear you. Was that sing?
Singing in public with a bathing suit. Okay.
So you can't sing if you're at the beach. You
it's
can't
a beach
sing.
Town. You can't
that makes
sing.
No sense.
You can't
sure about
sing.
This?
You could be wearing another article of clothing and sing, but not in a bathing suit. It's illegal to park your elephant at the beach.
They're very strict on the beaches there. I can tell you that from experience. They are very strict on beaches.
Are they allowed to wear unwashed t-shirts at the beach? Can you do that?
People who own bars or any other place where liquor is sold may be fined up to $1,000 if they participate in a contest of dwarf tossing.
Sometimes that's a consensual activity.
Not in Boca Raton.
Okay.
It's illegal to steal a horse. It's punishable by death by hanging.
I don't believe that.
You still hang people?
You can't hang
legally
people.
In Florida?
You don't hang people. I can't imagine. No.
Marty, why don't you?
That is still on the books. I do know that.
You can hang people in this country?
Yeah, I know in certain states that is.
Yeah, Florida, it's illegal.
If you ever do a deep dive in capital punishment in the U.S., you'd be surprised to see what still goes on in some of these states.
Well, I know, firing squads.
Yeah.
All doors must open outward on public buildings.
Good.
And
all doors outward. How about toilet paper? Does it have to hang a certain way?
Yeah, it has to. Well, that should be a universal law.
The undercarriage or then the oversight?
Over.
Over? Like
always.
Towards you?
Oh, over.
Not from the under part.
No.
Okay.
Okay.
Oh,
I never really thought about it.
You
just
unwashed
however
t-shirt wearer.
However it comes out is however it comes out.
Women are not allowed to break more than 3 dishes per day.
Well, that's tough.
Okay.
That's not true. Come on. How do you inform? Or what? They hang you?
Also, women are not allowed to fall asleep at a hair salon while getting their hair done. They will get up to $1,000 fine.
Would have been bad news for Marty the other day.
This week on the JRIF Report, the 263rd National Academic Ranking University, according to USA News. The school was a Division II school until 1993. They went to the A-Sun, then to the Sun Belt, then Conference USA. In the next season, they will be moving to the American. So, in transition year for Florida Atlantic University. They are located in Boca Raton, which is the 21st ranked city in terms of average residence age in the United States. You guys want to guess the average age of the person in Boca Raton?
67.
I will say, that's a good number there. I'll just say 69.
It's actually
just because.
Good number, wrong answer. It's actually 48.6 years of age per person.
Okay.
A little older.
Yeah. 11 of the top 20 cities in the United States in terms of average old age are in Florida, including the top 3. The oldest is the Villages, which is 68 years old.
Wow.
After New York City, Boca Raton is home to the second highest population of Holocaust survivors in the United States. I made the joke that Boca Raton is known for the retired Jews go, and that's mostly why.
Yeah. Wasn't a joke.
It was not a joke. Who the hell would go to
Delray Beach?
Yeah.
There's quite a few communities down there.
Oh, yeah. Who the hell would go to FAU? 19 current NFL players, notably Bills running back Devin Singletary.
Okay. All right.
How about that? I did not realize that.
It's actually very interesting. The school has 32,000 students, and there really aren't that many notable alum. Robert Orr, who's the former Motorola president, the drummer and founder of the band Grand Funk Railroad, went there.
Huh.
And Mark Philippon, who's the top NHL orthopedic surgeon, went there. Those are basically your... And then there's a bunch of Republican politicians. You probably could have guessed that. The basketball file. This is the second ever NCAA tournament appearance. The previous was in 2002. They had never won a tournament game prior to the season, much less made it to a Final Four. When head coach Dusty May took the job in 2018, he had instant regret and nearly quit hours into the job while the ink was still drying on the contract. He told CBS Sports, "I walked into the room and I started crying and said, I just committed career suicide. I am not good enough. I can't do this." And here he is, bringing a school to a Final Four that most people had never really heard of before.
And where will he be coaching next year, J. Riff?
Rumors are that he is signing a lucrative contract extension to FAU.
Okay.
That's what they're saying. Who knows if it's true?
That's what his agent's saying.
By the numbers, the Owls are the number one team statistically in bench points per game. Who does that sound like?
San Diego State.
They average 6 more points per game off the bench than San Diego State does. They also have the third highest winning percentage in the nation and the 9th best 3-point makes per game at 10 3-pointers made per game, which means San Diego State's defense will probably do what it does and lock them up from the perimeter.
How'd you like my little stat from earlier today? Previous two games, Alabama Creighton shot 5 for 44 from 3-point range.
That was on
point. Take that, Jim Russell. 5 for 44 from 3-point range for Alabama and Creighton combined.
This is the
5 for 44.
This is the third all-time matchup between these two schools. Back in 2000, San Diego State won 90-57. In 2002, San Diego State won 91-75. That's your J-Rip report.
All right, good job. I want to hear what Brian Dutcher had to say to Jim Nance. Coming up a little later on, we're going to read your texts. 70470, first word of the text team, T-E-A-M. We'll get to those coming up next. Coming up at 3 o'clock right now, let's get to some texts.
It's time to hear from you.
I had a lot of texts today and a lot of different things.
Your thoughts.
619, Jack Cronin for Speaker of the House. I'm with you on that.
Feelings.
619, the new 2023 got Darren questioning how to spell team. T-E-A-M.
And questions.
619, what's the shortest you ever had a job? I lasted one day. I worked for a hospital.
Text us at 70470.
All right, 858 number, reminding us what happened last year. Didn't the Rockies win the home and home series? Did the Rockies actually have the Padres numbers last year?
So.
I'd have to look that up.
That sounds right.
Not sure why that would carry over to this year, but it sounds right.
Yeah.
It does sound right. I would have guessed that was 2 years ago, but we can fact check that. 858 number texts in and says, "It is what it is," in quotes. That's every person's post-game interview in sports ever. If you had a dollar for every time you heard "it is what it is" post game,
I'd be filthy rich. I'd be retired. Padres were 9-10 versus the Rockies last season.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, 858. Soto, like last year, looked like an average hitter. Let's wait and see about that $500 million extension. Okay. If we were basing the $500 million extension on game one of 2023, I would agree with you on that one. I don't know what's the way it's working, but I understand your point. 858, great to hear from Jake Peavy. Love watching him. Great hearing from him today. Welcome to the Padre Hall of Fame, Jake. 949, it feels great to have Jake back where he belongs. Would agree. Peter Seiler is very quietly, hasn't sought out a lot of publicity for this, has reached out to people who felt like they were sort of excommunicated by previous owners and executives. He's privately reached out
to
them.
It's like he did homework on Padres history, and you get an idea who were some of the heart and soul guys of the organization, of the team. And you mentioned Tim Flannery, which is, I'm telling you, I remember when Tim Flannery, when we had an appreciation night for Tim Flannery at Jack Murphy Stadium, like 50,000 people showed up. He was so such an important part of this city, of that organization. And Jake Peavy, man, was the identity of that franchise. So I'm so glad that they have figured out this matters. You want to have a cultivate a relationship with your great players.
Yeah, it's a weird thing that happens because, you know, somebody gets traded away the way Peavy did. And we could have gone into great detail about that ridiculous situation. And you know, it wasn't this owner. It was a different owner who was borderline threatening Jake, like, you know, we'll trade everybody from this team if you don't accept this trade with your no trade clause. Mm-hmm. So he had some hard feelings for the organization.
Yeah.
And of course, then fans, because you're fans, you stand up for your organization, you feel like that's an attack on you, and it wasn't. It was mm-hmm. never about that. It was just about how he was being treated by the organization, which was ridiculous. I mean, one of the most ridiculous things I've ever heard in my life. Should have asked Jake about his Savannah Banana appearance. You're right about that. 949, we missed that one. 619, continuing up on the subject of Soto. It's not one game, guys. It's last season and a game. Color this texter not impressed.
Didn't you watch WBC?
619, Soto did the same thing last year in right field. He's just not a good outfielder. He should probably DH.
Well, there's a problem.
Well, you kind of need him to play some outfield here for now.
Yes.
Some bad takes are really rolling in here. We asked for them. Should we read them? Player with a tummy strain and a Charlie horse, suck it up, go balls out opening day, slacker. I feel like that was us asking for a bad take and getting one. I don't think that was sincere, but just my read on it. 971, always wash first. 609, just my 2 cents. Maybe with Camposano catching being used to the pitch clock in the minors, maybe he can help some of the pitching staff calm down when it comes to pitch selection location, since Nola had to miss time due to injury. Don't know if there's really any validity, but just my possible misinformed opinion. Well, cool. That's great. Hey, welcome to the club of misinformed opinions. 609, they put formaldehyde in new clothes. It's terrible for you. You always wash new clothes. Hashtag Team Marty.
Thank you. Fine. Yes.
858, Team Marty, always wash first. 858 number. 619, is this a female thing? Fresh t-shirt is the best feeling.
Nah.
Fresh t-shirt, best feeling. I don't have any issue with that. I like the feel. And plus, these shirts now these days, they only have so many washes in them. So you're starting off by...
You're
jumping the gun on the amount of times you can wear the shirt. Because you can only wear it. These shirts are only built to last so many washes. 949, always wash before you wear, especially undershorts. Manufacturing processes use chemicals. 858, Marty, nothing wrong with wearing a shirt without washing it. Comparing that to glassware, you are crazy.
No, I'm not. It's... No.
858, Marty washes new underwear. Who is she, Howard Hughes? 619, all clothes, glasses, dishes, silverware, thermal flasks get washed before wearing and using. That's Don, who's retired from Valley Metals. Okay. More of you do this than I realize. 858, I love the fact that DJ Kochur has echo on his feet. It sounds good. That's us. We have a speaker down here, so it bounces around in downtown. 858, it is illegal to put ketchup on your hot dog. I don't know if this is a Boca Raton thing, but...
No, I didn't see that.
That's what it says here. Are you a ketchup on the dog kind of guy?
Absolutely.
609, sorry guys, I'm Team Marty 100%.
Wow.
I wash all new clothes, socks, underpants. Everything that touches my body gets washed. You guys just don't.
Yeah. Why is Marty in quotes in this text?
I don't know. 609, they put formaldehyde in new clothes. It's terrible for you. You always wash new clothes. Hashtag Team Marty. Well, I've made it to 50 never washing this. Never washing these clothes. I've made it to 50 years. I've never, ever had a skin irritation. 609, Soto sucks because Marty didn't get her nails done.
What?
I don't know. We're just combining different themes of the week, I suppose. 408, CJ Cron is on pace for 324 home runs this season, Marty. 609, worst take last night was that loser Oral Hershiser. Did you see the Dodger broadcast?
Talking about the parade. No, I did not. Now, how would I have seen? The only thing I saw Dodger related was the fan getting trucked by security when he was proposing.
Nobody looks good there.
What?
Whose side are you on there?
I mean, the security guy?
Derwin James.
Was that Derwin James? Yeah, that was a hit. Now, I don't even know what happened. Did she say yes?
She posted on Instagram that she said yes.
Really?
Yep.
Did she get the ring? That ring could have flown out to center field.
Do you go to jail? Would you go to jail when that happens? Like, what happens?
He's banned from Dodger Stadium.
Oh, really? For how long?
At least a year.
They should say, like, from now on, all seeing proposal. This is what happens if you propose.
Boy, if they get divorced, it was definitely not worth it.
Yeah, usually you get hit like that after you get married. Thank you. Thank you very much. That's a little cautionary note for Jim Russell. Usually that kind of pain happens after the marriage. As somebody who recently got engaged, Jim, usually that's when you get blindside tackled like that. All right, hour number three coming up. We're live from the Blind Burrow. What do we think?
No clue.
We're not sure. We can't promote what might be coming up because we're not quite sure. Well, I guess we'll all find out together. Hour number three, all new San Diego Sports 760.